And now on Radio 4, it's time to celebrate a 35th birthday.
Welcome to this special edition of Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is with tremendous pleasure that I greet our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, to this special anniversary edition of Just a Minute, celebrating 35 uninterrupted years. And we are back at the Playhouse Theatre in London, which is on the edge of West End Theatre Land, where we did the very first recording all those 35 years ago. And we have a very distinguished audience, some important people from the BBC, naturally, some amazing representatives of the glitterati of show business, as well as a number of very distinguished people who have appeared in the show in the past and who have come back to take part today. We naturally welcome back the man who was in the original pilot. He's taken part in almost as many shows as myself. And he is that clever, articulate, skillful, and sometimes acerbic, but always entertaining, Clement Freud. And someone who's played with great success in the early recordings, giving the unruly boys on the team then a run for their money. Since then, she's been so busy with theatre work, she's only recently found time to return. We are delighted that she's back with us tonight. That is that lovely actress, Sheila Hancock. And in the 80s, the new generation of comedians joined us. And in 1988, one from the Comedy Store Players, one of their brightest stars, our youngster, who our producer then gave one show to, but immediately he was so successful, he's been asked back regularly since. He's a man with an incredibly sharp wit, great comic inventiveness, and on occasions, surreal bursts of humor. It is Paul Merton, and he has returned. And finally, our fourth panelist, who first gained experience playing this game in a stage version at the Edinburgh Fringe many years ago. It stood him in good stead because in recent years he's become one of our most popular television stars with his engaging and sometimes outrageous humour. A man I have described as the leprechaun of comedy, yes. It is the lovable Graham Norton. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score. She will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And we have one or two innovations in this show, which is not in an hour long, and we have one or two distinguished people in the audience who have played the game before, and we're going to ask one or two of them to set one or two of the questions, the subjects, I should say. So Malcolm Messiter's with us. Now, he is the son of Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game.
Thank you very much.
To have you with us. And would you like to set a subject for Paul Merton?
Yes, I think the subject's going to be just a minute in the year 2050. I'm sure it'll be still running then.
Well, what confidence you have, Malcolm. I'm delighted about that, yes. It gives me... I don't know what I'll be doing in 2050, but I hope I'm still around anyway. Yes, what a lovely subject. Paul, will you tell us something about Just a Minute in 2050, starting now?
In the year 2050, they'll be saying, well, of course, Just a Minute, what a popular programme that was in the 20th and the 21st century. Poor old Nicholas Parsons, he went mad in the end, you know. Married a goat and lived in Reigate for 15 years. Never the same man again. Clement Freud, wonderful raconteur, he ended up changing his name to Dolly Clackett and living in West End as a high-class prostitute. What an extraordinary story it was. Who would have thought those humble beginnings would have led to such a torturous existence in the end? Sheila Hancock, of course, became queen, and it was considered an extraordinary piece of promotion, but everybody's very happy because she looks so very good on the stamps. And Graham Norton also, as you remember, married Liz Hurley, a shock announcement of the show. And they later have 15 kids that then appeared on QVC Shopping Channel television, whereas Paul Merton died a sad, lonely alcoholic after abusing everybody else in the show. But I think what they'll say is it's a magnificent institution. The fact that it's been going for 35 years, and wouldn't it be...
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
Repetition of 35 years.
You did have the 35 years before. Oh. Right at the beginning. It is the rules of the game. It's a legitimate challenge. I know you love what he was doing, and he does need a resound of applause for it. Incredible. He went for... Oh, yes, you went for 56 seconds. No, we don't interpret that as meanness. We say that is the rules, and Clement, you've got in with a correct challenge of a repetition. So you take, you get a point for that, of course. And you haven't won any friends in the audience, but you take over the subject. 4 seconds to go. Just a minute in 2050, starting now.
I should...
Poor challenge.
Oh, hesitation, I'm afraid.
Because the audience clapped and they enjoyed what you did, we'll give you a bonus point because you didn't get anything for those 56 seconds. That's the least I can do. But Clement was interrupted. It wasn't hesitation. He gets another point and he has 3.5 seconds. Just a minute. In 2020, Clement, starting now.
I shall be 126 years old and I...
At the end of the first round, Clement Freud got a number of points, so naturally he's in the lead. Right. In our audience, we have Giles Brandreth, who has played the game with tremendous skill and panache in the past. He's now, of course, doing his show in the West End of London. But, Giles, have you got a subject for Graham Norton?
Yes, Nicholas. When I was a boy, my contemporaries chose James Dean as their role model, or Che Guevara, whereas I chose Nicholas Parsons. And I think that explains everything that's happened to me since. It certainly explains why, as you say, I'm appearing in the West End in a golden codpiece, black stockings, and a purple suspender belt. So I'm following your example. And as a tribute to you, Nicholas, style icon, guru, life coach, the subject I am offering is suspenders.
Suspenders, yeah. Suspenders is the subject, Graham. Can you go on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
In America, suspenders are what we call braces and help to keep men's trousers up, whereas in Britain, they tend to encourage gentlemen to remove their lower garments when they see a lovely lady, grr, bow wow, in a frilly, elasticated thing wrapped round her thigh to keep her stockings...
Sheila, challenge.
They're not actually wrapped round your thigh. They're wrapped round your pelvis. Mm. Your thigh is your leg, and suspenders have to have something to suspend on.
Very good point.
But aren't they? What's that thing? What is that thing, then?
That's a garter.
That's the garter.
See, I thought the other thing was the garter belt.
No.
And frankly, why the hell would I know this stuff?
Well, exactly.
You've yet to appear in the Rocky Horror Show, and then you discover all about it.
But I know, Sheila, I'm surprised I haven't myself. Yes.
Anyway, Sheila knew what she was talking about. It's a correct challenge, Sheila. You have the subject of suspenders, and you have 38 seconds starting now.
Well, I personally am very fond of suspenders. I prefer them to wearing tights, because I love the feeling of silk petticoat on the top of my thighs and the air around my...
Well, Paul's challenge saved you there, I think, Sheila. So, Paul, what was your challenge?
Decency in broadcasting.
Well,
you
certainly
know
said...
what I mean. I couldn't think of the word.
I know.
Thank God for that.
So, Paul, a correct challenge. 25 seconds available. Suspenders are starting now.
Albert Pierpoint, the last hangman in Britain, could judge a man's weight by simply shaking hands with him. And what he would do on the night of a hanging would knock on the former prisoner's door and shake his hand.
And Graham challenged.
He said hello again. He shook his hand too many times.
Shake.
Yeah. Yes, shake. Yes. Shook hand.
That's right, yes. Right. You have suspenders back with you. 12 seconds starting now.
Suspenders are sort of New Zealand backpackers who love...
Sheila challenge.
Bit of a hesitate. Yes, had an
There was a bit of a hesitation.
You're not very good on suspenders, are you, Graham?
No.
Sheila, you had a correct challenge. You've got 7 seconds. Suspenders starting now.
When I was very young, you learnt to wear stockings with suspenders.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of stockings.
You said stockings before,
did
Sheila.
I?
Yes, unfortunately you did. So Paul's got in with a sharp challenge there. 4 seconds to go. Suspenders with you, Paul, starting now.
Some people think the finest suspender material in the world is undoubtedly concrete.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. This occasion it was Paul Merton. So with the other points in that round, he's gone one ahead of Clement Freud into the lead, followed by Sheila Hancock and Graham Norton. And the next subject I'm going to give, and it's for you, Sheila, it's my inner child. Something warm and touching. Will you talk on that subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, this is a subject that I do know a bit about because I spent quite a lot of time coming to terms with my inner child. I went to groups who told me that, owing to the fact that I'd had a difficult childhood, that was why I was a vile adult. And if I could only come to terms with the fact... Oh, I've done that twice.
Yes, you have. Right, Graham, your light came on first, so we're going to hear about your inner child now.
Great.
And there are 41 seconds, starting now.
My inner child appears to be very hungry. Yesterday, he ate 25 party sausage rolls. I wish I was joking, but no. Savage them down. He's also a little unruly and often doesn't tidy my stomach properly. And I don't know what he gets up to sometimes even I don't stop it.
Sheila Challenge.
He doesn't know what he's talking
about.
No,
you're fine.
Well, the amusing thing in just a minute is you, as long as you keep going, you don't hesitate, repeat anything or deviate, you don't need
I never did that.
When you hear the recording, you'll hear that you went...
And Sheila, I'll phone you and apologise. But for now, no. I don't think I did that.
And actually, Graham, I don't think you did either. We're still with you, Graham, having got another point. 25 seconds starting now.
My inner child is obsessed by and an expert on suspenders. That child can rant on for hours about the difference between a garter, who'd confuse that, with the thing that could be wrapped around a woman's thigh, and I forgot what that's called.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of thigh.
You had the thigh before.
In the last round.
Yes, that's right. Well, the last round. I didn't have it in this round, you know.
No. We'll fill this hour-long special quite quickly if we can't repeat words we've said in our life.
I know. I think it was the mere mention of the word thigh and Clement came to life, and so... So, an incorrect challenge again. 7 seconds still with you, my inner child, Graham, starting now.
My inner child is called Robert, but I call him Bob, because we're kind of close.
Paul,
no, I was going to called and called. It's two different words, in fact, but I was trying a different interpretation of the rules.
Recalled and called, yes. Yeah, he cleverly said recalled and called, yes. Yep. So either he did it deliberately to confuse you and get a point, I don't know, or else...
Why didn't you ask him?
Did you do it deliberately?
Of
no, he didn't, obviously, tell from his face. So, 3 seconds, still with you, Graham. Surging forward, my inner child, starting now.
My inner child is called Shirley. She started to die.
Repetition of calls.
Yes.
Clearly, I'm psychic.
Yeah, yes. Well,
I did that to confuse you.
Yeah, I was confused.
I could see
Nicholas.
All your thumbs going on your buzzers at the same time, but the one who presses infinitesimally ahead of the others gets the light in front of me, and it was Paul. So, Paul, you've got in with 1 second to go on my inner child starting now.
Seafood.
So, Paul got another point for speaking to Whistle Wendell, another one's in that round. He's still in the lead. But Graham Norton got a lot of points in that round. He's only in second place now, only 1 point behind. Then Clement Freud, 2 points behind. And then Sheila Hancock, 3 points behind. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject here is Auld Lang Syne. New Year's Eve is just gone. And we're going to sing... No, we're not. We're going to hear Clement talk about Auld Lang Syne starting now.
If someone were to ask me, should old acquaintance be forgot? On the whole, I would say yes. Auld Lang Syne is on the Carlisle Road and is a post which directs you to Auld Lang. I've never myself...
Paul.
Hesitation. Stop. Did you hear him, Nicholas? He stopped.
No. No, for once I wasn't concentrating. I was getting a message. And what? So I don't get many
from
messages.
The other world? Does the name Elvis Presley mean anything to anybody here?
It was coming from another world, and since it was from our producer in the box, and so I didn't concentrate for a moment. I have to ask you to be honest, Clement. Did you pause?
You have no, you're wrong. Yes, I was mistaken.
Yes. No, no.
He
struggled to be dishonest, which I think is a great quality. But Paul, You have the correct challenge, and you have 38 seconds. Auld Lang Syne, starting now.
Well, I very much agree with what Clement said.
Grand challenge.
I was sensing a hesitation.
You've got it right. And you've got the subject, Auld Lang Syne, and 35 seconds starting now.
Auld Lang Syne is a traditional Scottish expression.
Paul Chalmers.
There was a slur of the words there.
It was a slur of
the
words.
There was a slur. Yes. Did you notice it, Nicholas?
Sorry, I noticed it.
At the beginning of the show, did anyone mention no slurring?
Yeah, it's that sort of hesitation.
I don't think a slurring is hesitation. I think if you elongate to the extent that it does sound like hesitation, I would give it. But on this occasion, I think it was
so a... So slurring's allowed?
No, a gentle slur.
A gentle slur.
Also, it is traditional to slur the word Scottish.
Yes.
There is.
Graham, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have 33 seconds. You have Auld Lang Syne still starting now.
Auld Lang Syne is a Celtic expression meaning, can I have the number for local minicab, please? Certainly, that seems to be the only useful thing it could mean on New Year's Eve. I said mean twice.
Paul Challenge.
Well, Graham got this just before me. He said mean twice.
You said mean before. Yes, you did. Correct challenge, Paul. 22 seconds available. Auld Lang Syne with you starting now.
Well, I haven't really got anything to what Clement added.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of Clement.
He never goes for the obvious. Well done, Clement. 19 seconds. Auld Lang Syne's with you again, starting now.
I haven't really got much to add to what Paul Merton said.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Well, he was obviously going to stop. And anyway, if he hasn't got anything to say, I'll say something.
Well, he didn't. If I'm going to be scrupulously fair, he didn't actually stop at that moment.
No.
So, really, to be fair, and I must always be fair to everybody, yes. Clement, it's another point to you, and you carry on if you want to. 15 seconds, Auld Lang Syne, starting now.
What Sheila Hancock was going to say is that Auld Lang Syne...
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of say.
Yes, you did say say before.
Say Paul Merton, say Sheila Hancock.
Yes, right.
Sid.
You don't need to emphasise it, Paul. I did hear it. 11 seconds. It was only once I stopped listening, and...
But it was for 35 years.
Oh, they are. And you rotten lot out there applaud him. Paul, 11 seconds. Auld Lang Syne, starting now.
I think many, perhaps, the Han and Leon...
I wasn't understanding it.
No, nor was I. And I think we call that deviation from English as we understand it.
I call that a gentle slur.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No. There was no slurring. It was completely unintelligible.
As opposed to slurring.
As opposed to slurring.
Slurring is intelligible.
Just no, write that you down. Can...
Slurring is intelligible. New rule.
If you happened... If I was to say Paul Merton...
Yeah, it's you'd still... be having a stroke. No, but you're not saying that. So,
and
confused.
How unlucky would that be on this special night? Yeah. It's been an hour, though. Yeah.
9 seconds. It's with you, because I agree with your challenge. Yes.
Of course it is.
It's Auld Lang Syne. 9 seconds, starting now, Graham.
Auld Lang Syne, lest old acquaintance be forgot.
Have we had all this before? Old acquaintance?
No,
not by me.
Not by him. As Clement talked about old acquaintance.
Oh, I knew I'd heard it somewhere.
Yes. 4 seconds, still with you, Graham. Auld Lang Syne, starting now.
As a child, listening to this beautiful melody on New Year's Eve, I would...
So, Graham Norton, with the subject and getting points on the subject, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has surged forward. He's now in the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton and a few ahead of Clement Freud and Sheila Hancock in that order. And in our audience, we have the lovely Jenny Eclair. And Jenny's come to support us. She's supported us by being brilliant in the show on a number of occasions. The microphone is in front of her. Jenny, would you please give a subject to Graham Norton?
Oh, sorry, Graham. This is fiendishly difficult. Speaking in tongues... I'm sorry, Doug. That shirt is so wasted on radio.
I should explain to our listeners that Graham is wearing one of the outrageous shirts he wears on his television series, and in fact, it's a complete see-through.
It is not!
It is.
Sheila Hancock was backstage going, I can see your nipples. I was like, get away, back off!
Well, I can see them from here, Graham, actually.
Because you're staring, it's covered in sequins. It's
I know, but nipples covered in sequins are very exciting. Anyway, let's...
Now I feel sick.
Graham, speaking in tongues, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
If you wish to be heard, I find that speaking in tongues isn't a great idea, as ears are specially designed for the listening bit of the head. However, speaking in tongues can be a friendly, some might say overly familiar thing to do, especially if it's a stranger on the Underground Railway, for instance. They ask for directions, and you reply by speaking in their tongue. They often misinterpret this as unwanted attention, nay, even a sexual advance. I say, no, I'm simply being friendly in an Irish way. Because, of course, in the Emerald Isle, from whence I come, my mother still lives there, thanks for asking, it is a beautiful way of chatting to someone while sipping some saliva. Ooh, it's hot in Southern Ireland.
Sheila Challenge.
I don't think he knows what speaking with tongues is.
It doesn't matter. He was keeping going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation.
What is he on about?
Graham.
Yes?
I disagree with the challenge.
Fine.
So you still have speaking in tongues, and you have 8 seconds starting now.
Speaking in tongues is something that occurred in the Bible, when suddenly people could speak French, German, and all sorts of languages.
Clement, challenge.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. You did say suddenly before. When you were talking about, you suddenly met this person there.
I believe you.
Yes. Clements got in with 3 seconds ago on speaking in tongues, starting now.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have no charity.
So Clement Floyd was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's just behind Paul Merton, and Graham Norton is still in the lead, and Sheila Hancock, it's your turn to begin. Here's a nice subject for you, Nelson's Column. Tell us something about Nelson's Column in this game, starting now.
Well, just up the road from here is Trafalgar Square, which is being pedestrianised so that you can see Nelson's Column even clearer. It is about 180 feet tall, and Nelson himself is quite tall.
Paul, challenge, yes.
Repetition of tall.
Yes,
he was too tall, yes. In fact, he's quite small when you look up there, isn't he?
He's not. He's actually quite big.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'll look up there. I'll nip up there afterwards and have a look. Right. 45 seconds for you, Paul, after a correct challenge on Nelson's Column, starting now.
Police were called to Trafalgar Square late on Saturday night, where a TV personality and radio host, Nicholas Parsons, was found attempting to climb the column. When he was arrested, he said, "I wanted to see if he was big or small." He was taken to Cannon Street Station, where he was later...
Clement. Oh, I know. You wanted him to go on that one, didn't you? Just because it was mocking me, wasn't it?
Don't ask a leading question, Nicholas.
26 seconds, Clement. Nelson's Column, starting now.
Lord Kitchener, who is the Calypso singer, had a song about Trafalgar Square in which he says it epitomises, talking about Nelson's Column, the nation's plight, and epitomises it.
And, you're doing it for all of them now. Isn't that lovely? Paul, you challenge.
It was epitomises twice.
He was epitomising too much, yes. And it's a word that hasn't been used much in this series.
I said epitomise and epitomises. Quite deliberately.
If he says he did it deliberately, I'll withdraw if you want.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt. I must say, there was a touch of slur there, so I wasn't... 12 seconds with you still, Clement. Nelson's Column, starting now.
The words I said before, from a very great height. It rather loses the impact.
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, sure. Yes. And this time you're in there, Paul. More on Nelson's Column. 5 seconds, starting now.
The pigeons used to fly around the top of Nelson's head, and he was very upset, so one day...
Paul was then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now one ahead of Graham Norton, and 3 ahead of Clement Floyd, and 1 or 2 ahead of Sheila Hancock. And... Charles Collingwood is in our audience, who played the game for us in Edinburgh a couple of years ago. And, of course, a lot of you will know him better from The Archers as Brian. You see, we do have a Radio 4 fan listening club here. They know what you're doing, Brian. And they don't approve, but...
Yes, they do.
I do. It livens the Archers up no end. I like it.
But as Charles Collingwood, would you like to give Clement Floyd a subject?
I would. I've been lucky enough to play Brian Aldridge for 27 years, and during the last 12 months, Brian has had the most delicious love affair with Siobhan Hathaway, which has produced a gorgeous little child. Clement, would you be good enough to speak on the subject of holding the baby?
Clement, it's holding the baby. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
It is essential to hold it the right way up. And quite easy to find out where is what by the dampness at one end and the hair, which might be a tubber.
Sheila, hang on, you child.
Hesitation,
Sheila. Holding the babies with you, and you have 46 seconds. Tell us something about that subject, starting now.
I think I can honestly say that possibly the happiest times of my life have been when I've been holding the baby, either my own or now my grandchildren.
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He's talking about babies.
You can only hold one at a time.
He didn't make that clear.
I was confused. I thought you were juggling with me. I was confused.
Yeah, I'm so reluctant, Sheila, to give it away.
Don't from you because... dare give it to them. That was an outrageous challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. So having been intimidated by our audience and Sheila Hancock, 36 seconds, holding the baby, Sheila Hancock starting now.
Holding the baby is a great joy because they smell so lovely. And don't interrupt, because they do.
They smell.
No, Clement, I won't allow it because she talked about holding the baby and then she was using the collective phrase, they
That's
smell
right.
so lovely, about babies in general, but she didn't repeat the word anything else. No, I'm with you, Sheila. You've
right.
still got holding the baby and you've got 31 seconds starting now.
Its skin is as soft as a butterfly's wing. I'm always tempted to bite it because they are so deliciously sweet and gorgeous and...
Paul Challenge.
This is cannibalism. You can't go. We're Radio 4, January the 1st, go around eating babies. What would they think of this in China, Nicholas? You're an expert. What would they think?
Well, we do get the letters from
China. You get the letters, don't you?
Yes, we do get the letters, and they do get confused by some of the traditions and mores of our
Well,
society.
They'll think that's a tradition, eating the baby over here. That's no good,
well,
is it?
I think she conveyed that that's what she's tempted to do, but she didn't carry through the action. That's the way
Are
I
you
understand
sure?
it.
I do bite because, it, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's a duck bite.
Get am I defending you, Sheila, and now you put me right in it, right?
I bite it with
yes.
love.
You I've heard many,
mean.
Many
Any
mothers say,
what I mean,
you know,
delicious.
Yes, every mother has said, you know,
bums.
Will say, yes, it's so delicious. I like to put my teeth in. I've never heard of a mother who has bitten her baby,
yes.
so... I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt again, Sheila.
How much have I got now?
You're getting lots of points, Diane. That's
I
the
know,
most important
but how
thing.
How long have I got to talk?
21 seconds.
Oh, my God. Surely I've talked longer than that.
No, you've been interrupted most of the time.
You'll be a teenager by the time you finish.
21 seconds, Sheila, starting now.
I have a particularly clever way to hold the baby, which is going to be difficult to demonstrate on radio, but you sit it down...
Graham Challenge.
I just thought I'd save you the trouble.
I was going to try.
It's another incorrect challenge. Sheila, you've got another
yeah,
point. You're
right.
doing well, right. 16 seconds, holding the baby, starting now.
Then you form a Y with your forefinger and thumb and put it under the baby's chin and pat its back, and you'll find that the burps come up marvellously, rather than all that business of putting it on your shoulder, because then it sicks down your back. This way.
So, Sheila Hancock.
I actually ran out of breath then.
I know.
Really died,
I know. You obviously enjoyed the subject, and you managed to keep it, and with the generosity of some of the team, and you were speaking as a whistle wind, you leapt forward, but alas, you're still in fourth place. But... No, but it was a huge leap. She was only 1 point behind Clement Freud and only 2 points behind Graham Norton and 3 behind Paul Merton. So Helen Bowden, the head of Radio 4, is in our audience supporting us magnificently and doing a wonderful job keeping the standard of Radio 4 up to the standard and winning listeners all the time.
Oh, stop Just calling. Keep going, Nicholas.
Well, there we are. Helen, have you got a subject you'd like to give to Paul Merton?
Yes, Paul. I'd like to know why Just a Minute has lasted so long.
Paul, can you tell her why Just a Minute has lasted so long, in 60 seconds if possible, starting now?
Lack of proper entertainment in the rest of the country one night. When you're speaking on Just a Minute and you're given a subject, it may be hot air balloons, Venetian blinds, you start with confidence thinking I'm probably not going to get as far as a minute, but if I start elongated...
Graham challenged.
No, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing.
What's that?
I thought he said start or something twice.
He did say start.
Oh, said start twice then.
Yeah, right. Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, right, that's all right.
Yeah.
Graham, come on.
Oh, you can see Graham's inner child all the time.
It's this shirt.
It was a girl, was it?
So I do think the nice positive way is that your inner child is closer to the surface of your personality than most of us, Graham, and that's one of the reasons they love you so much.
Absolutely.
I feel sick again.
So it was meant to be a nice compliment.
No, it was a lovely thing.
Right. Say. 44 seconds. You tell us something why Just a Minute has lasted so long.
The main reason Just a Minute lasts so long is because people keep interrupting. They continually...
Paul.
Hesitation.
Yes, because you interrupted. Right. Why Just a Minute has lasted so long and 37 seconds available, Paul, starting now.
It's extraordinary. I think because the actual way of playing it is capable of infinite variety. It's a bit like a game of draughts. It seems very simple, first of all. The rules aren't many. But because of the personalities that play the game, they each bring...
Clement, for your challenge.
Repetition of game.
Yes, you did repeat the word game before. So, Clement, a correct challenge. You tell us something about why you think Just a Minute has lasted so long. 22 seconds starting now.
I think it just seems long.
Sheila has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation. But let's be fair to Clement. He paused for comic effect and the audience did respond. Yes, I think he did. And I do give out bonus points on occasions. It was a very, very good remark. Clement, give him a bonus point for that. And Sheila, you get a point for a correct challenge. And you have 19 seconds on why Just a Minute has lasted so long, starting now.
Without a doubt, it's because of the participants, excluding myself, of course, Kenny and Derek and Peter Jones and now the younger generation. It's a wonderful game for letting people...
Clement Floyd challenge.
She missed me.
Clement, there's no easy way of saying this.
I was coming round to you.
I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt, Sheila, and say you have another 7 seconds why Just a Minute has lasted so long, starting now.
And, of course, the wise and witty Clement Freud and the fair and judgmental Nick Parsons. What would we have done?
So it's now very, very close and even, as it should be in this special anniversary show. Sheila Hancock has moved forward. She's now equal in third place with Clement Freud, only 1 point behind Graham Norton, and he's only 1 point behind Paul Merton. Oh, it's tension time, isn't it? They're not very tense, the audience. Steve Frost, who's played the game with some acclaim in the past, is in our audience. And Steve, would you like to think of a subject, or maybe you've thought of one, and give it to Sheila Hancock?
Good evening, Sheila.
Good evening.
I'm a bit confused, Sheila. I came to see No Sex, Please. We're British tonight. I'm waiting for Ronnie Corbett to come on. Anyway, my subject is, what's wrong with a hairy chest?
All right, Sheila, can you talk about what's wrong with a hairy chest? 60 seconds, Sheila, starting now.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, nothing's wrong with a hairy chest, but I do prefer one that isn't, like Graham's that's showing through his little lacy jumper.
Can I just say, and now I'm so pleased this has come up, you see, shirt not see-through because chest is hairy.
Is it?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Their little blondie hair.
I should explain to our listeners that at that particular point, and why the audience laughed was because Graham bared his chest to Sheila, who had a very, very close look. And what was the reaction, Sheila?
Well, it's sort of palely hairy.
I think,
in other
words, Sheila, you would not describe it as a truly hairy chest.
No, I wouldn't.
Right, then you've got the subject still.
Excuse me, I've placed personal ads. It's hairy.
It may have hairs, but it's not hairy.
No, it's hairy.
All right. right, you can have the subject. I want to hear Graham on Hairy Chest.
She's been very generous. She's let you have it, and you get the point now instead of Sheila. 53 seconds. You tell us something about what's wrong with a hairy chest, starting now.
What's wrong with a hairy chest is that the hair is never content there. It seems determined to get to shoulders and back. There it lurks, growing up, and you have to cut it like some sort of chopery. I've got a hen and chickens on one shoulder. Oh, maybe I've said shoulder again. Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Paul.
Repetition of shoulder.
You did say shoulder. Paul, you're going to tell us something about what's wrong with a hairy chest. 37 seconds, starting now.
Well, you have to be careful, Steve, for hairy chest, because of friction. If you've got a rubber sheet and the alarm clock goes off and you get up quickly, you're going to be liable to set your pillows on fire. And I can tell this happened to you, isn't it? You told me about it. I remember up in Edinburgh 1 year, he told me about that, and it was extraordinary.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of told me about
you it. You tell me about that.
It's a public health warning. People should know.
Clement, another point to you, 23 seconds. What's wrong with a hairy chest, starting now?
I don't believe anything is wrong with a hairy chest. I have a hairy chest. My mother had...
Sheila, you challenge.
No, we've got to draw the line somewhere.
That was deviation, yes. I don't believe what he said about his mother there. And 16 seconds, getting what's wrong with a hairy chest, starting now.
There is nothing wrong with a hairy chest, because it isn't a sign of
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Actually, I think I've said nothing again.
I know you did, but don't say it, otherwise they'll get you.
Well,
for it.
For goodness sake,
yes. Graham challenge.
Did you say nothing again?
No, no. That's a retrospective challenge. I thought he was going to have you for that, but he didn't. So he interrupted you, so you get a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject. What's wrong with a hairy chest, starting now?
Some people say it's a sign of virility, but I'm here to tell you from my own experience that is absolutely not true.
Right, what's the score at the end of that round? Well, Sheila Hancock, who was training a little while ago, she has now leapt forward, getting one for the whistle going as well. She's now in the lead. Still very close, though. She's one ahead of Paul Merton, two ahead of Graham Norton, and three ahead of Clement Freud. And it's Graham Norton's turn. And here's a very good subject. Oh, gosh, it isn't so good. confusing the chairman. Graham, can you talk on confusing the chairman for 60 seconds, starting now?
Confusing the chairman in this game is not exactly a great challenge. No, the trick is to notice if you've done it. I don't know. Possibly he's confused right now. Look at him. Are his eyes glazing over? Oh, is that a word? I'm not sure. His hair's not moving. The jacket remains burgundy. The tie. Oh, my God. Where did you get that? In 2050, it'll be back in fashion. I think sometimes he's not confused. He's other things, like asleep.
Sheila challenge.
He's actually said confused twice.
Yes. And he's deviating. I'm never asleep.
Just napping.
So, Sheila, yes, it's a correct challenge. You have 28 seconds, confusing the chairman, starting now.
Well, as we get older, it's much more difficult to be a chairman, and I feel rather sorry for Nick having to cope with this complicated game at his grand old age. Inevitably, he's going to get a bit befuddled with the rules. Often he asks the audience, which is the most irritating thing that he does when he's confused, let's ask the people out front, and they all...
Paul,
ask
the people, yeah. Yes. I'd have given against you anyway. I've never spoken to the audience except to encourage them and say this. Right. I wish this subject hadn't come up, really. confusing the chairman, Paul, with you 5 seconds ago, starting now.
It's not a difficult task. Simple colour and movement usually does it. Come towards him quickly with a very striped shirt. He's going to know where he is.
So Paul Merton was speaking, but the whistle went and got that extra point, and he's now gone one ahead of the others. And Chris Neal is in our audience. Chris, who used to produce our show and is now doing stand-up comedy and has also appeared in Just a Minute with great style. Give a subject for Sheila Hancock, would you,
Chris? I certainly will. Thank you very much. I hope I haven't, in case anybody on the panel actually speaks about it, I hope I'm not casting aspersions. But I'm assuming anyone on the panel is actually over, and probably including you, Nick, as well, is over the age of 35. And I'm just. And I'm very pleased to report that I'm not. And so my subject is what I was like at 35.
All right, well, that's a good subject, a difficult one, but Sheila, it's your turn to begin, and, well, actually, he's set it for you. 60 seconds are starting now.
Well, it's so long since I was 35 that I can barely remember it. All I know is I was very confused and I had a four-year-old child whose bottom I bit on regular. And it was the swinging 60s, so I spent quite a lot of time in miniskirts and Courage boots and Fidel Sassoon hairstyles with a lot of sick down the front from the said infant.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of a lot of.
Yes, there was a lot of, unfortunately. But Clement, you've got now what I was like at 35, and there are 39 seconds starting now.
When I was at 35 Wimpole Street, I had very heavily moustached upper lip. On the other hand, when...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
And there was a hesitation, Paul. You've got 30 seconds, and you tell us something about what I was like at 35, starting now.
Well, it was an extraordinary time being 35. It was only about 7 years ago, but I can remember it as if it was yesterday. Why, I was running through the fields, the corn blowing in my ears, the dandelions over by the corner, and then suddenly... What?
Sheila hadn't got Challenge.
Oh, I thought you said corn again.
You did,
you
he had too much
you said corn.
Corn and corner.
Corner, yeah, sorry.
Oh, did you say
corn and corner? Yes, corn and corner.
Confused,
the old
yes.
corn and corner routine, corn and corner.
You were going at such a pace and you're a distance away from me. I should explain to our listeners
that I'm seeing
different the way it's also... I'm in the centre.
They're clapping in the wings, Nicholas. That's a bad sign.
First
you're
of all,
a book that you can't get to the end of the show.
You don't believe a word any of the four of them say about me. And secondly, they are on two on one side and two on the other. And Paul Merton and Graham Norton are furthest away, so it's sometimes difficult to catch exactly what they say.
Yes.
Because I haven't got feedback
yet.
No, you are speaking.
It was corn and corner.
It was corn and corner, I accept that. So
I heard that, and he's even further away from me.
But you bite babies' bottoms, I mean...
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
18 seconds are available, Paul, for what I was like at 35, starting now.
I don't think I was radically different at 35 to what I am now. Perhaps a bit more and maybe some less. There is an old...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with the hesitation.
Dramatic pause, I'm afraid.
Dramatic pause to work out the rubbish you just said. Isn't it interesting?
It may be rubbish to you, it's a career to me.
If they have a joke at my expense, you applaud. If I make one at their expense, you say, ooh. Right, 8 seconds with you, Clement. What I was like at 35, starting now.
When I was at 35, Old Kent Road, it was much more fun than when I was at 35.
Paul Challenge.
When I was...
Yeah, when I was.
Yeah, repetition.
Well done, Paul. Well listened. 2 seconds on what I was like at 35, starting now.
I think if I ask you to picture a golden...
In our audience, we have the lovely Pam Ayres, who is shortly going to be in one of our shows, I'm delighted to say. And she's come here today, and she's got a subject which we would like you to give to Paul Merton. Pam, would you like to ask Paul Merton to talk on?
Oh, well, I feel very nervous, actually, as you can probably tell from my tremulous voice, because having been asked to appear on the programme and having now seen the cutthroat and murderous nature...
I'll protect you, Pam, don't worry.
Will you?
Yeah.
Well, in that...
Run. Run, don't walk, Pam.
He'll protect you, but remember, he's clinging to life.
It may only be protection in the short term, then. But in view of my fears and apprehension, I would like to ask you, Paul, how to win points, even by underhand means, on Just a Minute.
Well, Pam, can we condense that to how to win points in just a minute and cut out the underhand means?
Oh, right.
Oh, you like that as well, dear?
Well, I wouldn't mind a bit of underhand going on. Yes, of course. Oh,
you want the underhand means in as well. All right, then. Paul, the subject is, from Pam Ayres, how to win points, even in underhand means, in just a minute. and you have 60 seconds starting now.
Well, there's all kinds of intimidation you can play. You can suddenly stare at Clement, or perhaps he might stare at you, or Elon...
Clement Chalice.
He put me off, I was intimidated, Nicholas.
Yes, yes. And I should say to our listeners, sometimes that does happen. They do stare at each other.
It does, it's underhand, in my view.
That was, and it was definitely... And, Clement, you've got in with a correct challenge. I didn't hear what it was, but...
Repetition.
Oh,
I see.
I like to hear it from the person who challenges, because sometimes they give a different challenge, which is not one I'd agree with.
Uh-huh.
This is me being utterly unconfused. Thank you!
It makes a change.
There's no holding you back as a fault. Right. No. 52 seconds, Clement, on how to win points, even by underhand means, in just a minute. 52 seconds available, starting now.
Quite a good way of doing it is change your name to Paul Merton. You will become enormously successful. And the great thing about this comedian, stand-up comic, who is sitting on my right, is that he has a hairy chest, which means... when sending shirts to the laundry, there's an extra charge for extricating the hirsute.
I'm sure our listeners' imagination went with that one, because Paul, by intimidating Clement, by undoing his shirt and showing his hairy chest, which the audience absolutely adored. I don't know if it was the chest or the fact that Clement so assiduously kept going in spite of that. And, Paul, you challenged at one
point. Hesitation, I'm afraid.
I know there was, yes.
I was willing him all the way.
And you were. And you did win a point by underhand means. But as that's the subject, I've got to give it to you. 22 seconds. How to win points, even by underhand means, in just a minute, starting now.
Another way is to use a word like corner and then a moment later say corners. And that is the singular and the plural of the same combination of letters. And the careful listener will discern the difference, but sometimes another member of the team, perhaps somebody at the furthest end of Piccadilly, because it's quite a large stage we're on here, will say, I didn't quite catch that, but perhaps it was in...
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went again, the extra point, and he's gone forward. He's in the lead, but he's only 4 points ahead of Clement Freud. And I realise, from looking at the clock, that we're moving into the last round, so I'm not utterly confused. Oh, I think it deserves a bigger... Oh, right. Graham Norton is in third place, only 1 point behind, and only 1 point behind him is Sheila Hancock. It's still very close as we move into the final round, and in our audience we have the supremely humorous Ross Noble. And Ross, we'd like you to give a subject to Graham Norton.
Oh, right, yes. OK. It's a bit weird sitting in the front like this, isn't it?
I
feel like I'm driving the biggest cab in the world. There's one topic which we haven't really heard about, which we should really cover, I think. Could you tell us 10 things we didn't know about Nicholas Parsons?
And, Ross, I thought you were my friend.
That's why I only had 10 things.
All right. Right, Graham, that's the subject, and I've got to go with it because he's thrown it at you. 10 things you never knew about Nicholas Parsons. And there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Nicola Parsons was born 90 years ago. A quiet girl, she didn't bother the other kids too much in school. Later in life, she moved to Spain and became a cabaret artiste. That's what they call them in Spain.
Sheila, your challenge.
Well, it was a bit of a hesitation.
A big, complete hesitation.
Don't worry, I won't have ten things about Nicholas, so you can get it back.
Right. 10 things you never knew about Nicholas Parsons, Sheila, and there are 47 seconds available if you want it, starting now.
Well, I think everybody knows everything about Nicholas. I mean, there he is. He's got grey hair and he wears a blazer and a smart tie and he chairs just a minute and he appears in rude shows occasionally and he's married and...
Paul, you challenge.
A lot of he's.
A lot of he's, I'm afraid.
Yes. Good.
Paul, you've got in on a number of he's. There are 33 seconds. 10 things you never knew about Nicholas Parsons, starting now.
Apparently, he used to be in show business. Look at it now and think, surely that's not believable. But yes, if you go back to the midst of time, Tommy Handley, it's that man again. Nicholas was the man. Oh, no.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition.
21 seconds. 10 things you never knew about Nicholas Parsons, starting now.
10 things would be blind, paralytic, insensible, wears a wig, puts his teeth into a bucket by his bed.
Sheila, you've challenged. Well, I actually challenge you then, Clement.
ask the audience.
Yeah. Where do you think he puts his teeth?
They are stuck in my head and have been since a child. Sheila, you challenged that.
Well, you made me.
Don't you think he was deviating?
No, I don't think he was
deviating. Oh, my God! You don't think so, Clement. They don't think you were deviating. I've never heard such devious rubbish in my life. But Sheila doesn't want to accept it, so you take the subject still, you get a point for that, and you have 6 seconds starting now.
Is 90, though he looks younger. But his son lent me his bus pass, so I know.
So, as I said before, this was to be the last round, and I'm afraid that is the end of this particular anniversary show of Just a Minute. Let me give you the final score, because a lot of people are very interested in it, because the contribution from all of them was absolutely magnificent. And we had two equal in third place, which was Graham Norton and Sheila Hancock. They came third in a very strong, very powerful third position. And in a very strong position was Clement Freud in second place, but only 2 points ahead of him was Paul Merton, which says, Paul, you are the winner of our anniversary show. As we have no more time, we've been running 35 years, I would like, in conclusion, to give a few very personal thank yous. I'd like to thank some of the people who are no longer with us, but have helped to make Just a Minute such a fun and exciting show. Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams. And, of course, the wonderful Ian Messiter, who devised the programme. I'd also like to thank tonight's guest setters. In alphabetical order, Pam Ayres, Helen Bowden, Giles Brandreth, Charles Collingwood, Jenny Eclair, Steve Frost, Malcolm Messiter, Chris Neal, and Ross Noble. And finally, and our thanks to our magnificent, wonderful team, that is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sheila Hancock, and Clement Freud, a special round of applause for them, please. I also want to thank the lovely broadcast assistant, Claire Bartlett, who's helped me keep the score and blown her whistle with such style. We also thank our producer-director, who gives us such encouragement, that is Claire Jones. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience and the fans who followed our show religiously for 35 years. Right, right there. Please continue to do so and see you back when we have our next anniversary. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the panel, and from everybody else, goodbye. Tune in when we next play Just a Minute.
And on the Radio 4 website, you can delve deeper into the history of Just a Minute, which will be back on Monday evening at 6:30. Now, is it such a happy New Year's Day so far as the weather's concerned?